A couple of weeks ago, we did a report and we showed that the United States, as far as their entry by air into the country, was aligned with China when it comes to the restrictions in their vaccine policy, meaning you can't get in this country by air unless you have a two-dose vaccine series. So let's look at the actual CDC webpage and take a look at what they say about that. So two-dose vaccine series, great, but do they even look at natural immunity yet with all the studies? It says here, what if I have tested positive for COVID-19 antibodies or have recently recovered from COVID-19? Do I still need proof of vaccination? CDC says, yes, at this time, all non-citizen, non-immigrant air passengers traveling to the United States, regardless of antibody status, are required to provide proof of COVID-19 vaccination. Yeah. Now, remember, Canada, one of the most restrictive countries over the last 2 years during the pandemic response, was blocking people coming in and out of their country because of vaccine status. They just dropped that on October 1st, just a couple weeks ago now. And let's look at what their Air Canada website is having to say about this. So this is the Air Canada welcomes Government of Canada decision to lift mask testing and arrive cam requirements. Now, that was an app that proved your vaccine status. And it says here, Air Canada welcomes the removal of these restrictions, acknowledging that air travel is safe and that the measures were not justified by science.
Whoa.
Really? Now, this is an airline thing.
I mean, you know, here in America, I was like, we're just glad this has been lifted. They actually took a jab at their government, pointing out that it was scientifically unjustified. Did they get any trouble for that? That's outrageous. Good on them. You know, call it out as you see it.
Right. And the airlines at that. So let's look at the science. So remember what America's doing, what Canada just said, or at least the airline. Let's look at some of the science they're talking about and what's justified and what's not justified. So let's first look at Canadian healthcare workers on the front lines, the healthcare heroes. This is protection against Omicron BA2 reinfection conferred by primary Omicron BA1 or pre-Omicron SARS-CoV-2 infection among healthcare workers with or without mRNA vaccinations. They're basically looking to see if you've had prior infections with an Omicron strain or a pre-Omicron strain, is this going to help with future Omicron strains? And this is what the researchers had to say.
In short, natural immunity, right? Like once you've caught it, we're talking about looking at the effectiveness of natural immunity depending on what strain you caught. Okay, all right, got it.
Absolutely. Remember that natural immunity that the US CDC does not recognize for air travelers. And the researchers write, previous Omicron BA1 infection alone was the single most protective factor against BA2 reinfection, risk reduction of 72%, and was associated with higher protection than pre-Omicron primary infection alone, 38%, or even than three doses of mRNA vaccine in people with no previous infection, 46%. So here we're seeing natural immunity better than three RNA doses. That's two primaries and a booster. So now we're seeing this play out country and country and country. So UK, let's go over there. Now, at the beginning, just as a caveat, at the beginning of the pandemic, we were covering studies and it was showing these small sample amounts. We're talking like 10 people, 20 healthcare workers, because obviously it was just the beginning of the pandemic and we didn't have much to work with. But now we have these sweeping population-wide studies, highly powered, just like this one out of the UK. They were looking, they use over 9 million participants in England looking at their medical records. And it says here, association of BMI, that's body mass index, with COVID-19 vaccine uptake, vaccine effectiveness, and risk of severe COVID-19 outcomes after vaccination in England. And they say here, the researchers, surprisingly, now you got to wonder when you start seeing researchers say surprisingly, you got to pay attention. We observed a higher risk of test positivity after vaccination with one or two doses across all BMI groups, which is contrary to evidence reported by the UK Office of National Statistics. So they're saying we have more cases after vaccination with one or two across all BMI groups. So remember, the BMI groups, people with higher BMI were supposed to be more at risk, but they're showing they're more at risk after the vaccination. Sweden, same thing. Over 9 million people in Sweden, they use multiple registries and they looked at this. This was the study there. Effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines over 13 months covering the period of emergence of the Omicron variant in the Swedish population. Remember, we're being told that we're in the middle of this Omicron variant right now.
Yeah.
And they used multiple national registries, over 9 million people, 12 and over. And they said this. Our results were similar to the UK study, albeit with even more rapidly waning effectiveness. Somewhat implausibly, again, surprisingly, implausibly, we even observed a negative vaccine efficacy against Omicron infection from week 14, indicating that vaccinated individuals experienced a higher risk of infection than those unvaccinated.
I mean, we have talked about immunity. This so much. The vaccine is helping you get infected, is what negative efficacy means. You're doing worse than had you not had anything at all, which means somehow it's affecting your immune system to be more vulnerable, the exact opposite of what a product like this is supposed to be doing for you.
Right. And again, natural immunity reigns supreme. Let's look at one of the images from that study. And it says here on the left side, vaccine effectiveness against COVID-19 infection after Omicron. And you see on the bottom, this is weeks after two doses, that red line in the middle. You want to stay above that red line as much as possible, because when you go below that, you have more risk of infection. And you can see by a little after 50 weeks, you're looking at almost 100%, negative 100 times or 100% vaccine
more likely to get infected. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we keep reporting on this, but it's staggering. First of all, in a world where we never saw science looking negatively at vaccines at all, just to see how the world is so completely shifted here and the focus on this vaccine and how terribly this vaccine has been working. I mean, you could say, it's not very effective. No, it's worse than that. It's causing your infection.
Right. And there is a stream here. If people are starting to see this in the science, that there is a big turning point happening here against the vaccine. Or it's not even against the vaccine. It's just telling the truth of what they're finding.
Yeah.
And these boosters, as these boosters are coming out, these new variations of boosters, it's almost like, we have a new booster with loaded with an Omicron variant. Now we can talk badly about these other ones, or we can actually show the science that is actually happening. Let's look at kids now. There's a study out of Scotland looking at kids 12 to 17. Some of the data even goes beyond that. But this is the Pfizer vaccine, COVID-19 vaccination uptake, safety, effectiveness, and waning in children, young people aged 12 to 17 years in Scotland. And here's a chart from that study. Now, this goes beyond 12 to 17. You look on the left side. You have the first vaccine and the second vaccine, and then the age groups. And highlighted there, right across, this is the Omicron period. Underneath, it's highlighted vaccine efficacy percentage. What's that first thing? Negative. There's a couple lines down, negative. There's four negative efficacies there, some of them in the 20%. Wow. And the rest of them aren't really that impressive. We're talking 22%, 11%. If you look all the way down at the bottom, a second dose, 14 and older, 1.2% vaccine effectiveness. I mean, imagine that.
Folks, while you're looking at this, I want to point out, when you're looking at science like this, we're looking at the bottom line there. You see 1.2% effectiveness. But look at the numbers. It straddles between a negative efficacy of 49.3 and a positive efficacy of 34.6. I was always taught that scientifically, when you're doing statistics like this, that when it goes across the zero, when you have a negative into a positive, you might as well throw it in the garbage, because you cannot cross that zero line and say that you're getting any useful information. That this is essentially not effective at all. And so look how many of these, that are even saying that they might have positive. Look up there on the first dose, what is that? Is it 6 to 9, where it says 11.9% effective, which would be terrible, but really you're crossing the line. You're at negative 16.1 all the way to positive 33.1. Anyone that's a doctor or a statistician knows what we're talking about here. That's garbage. It's total and complete garbage as far as deciding that something's effective at all.
Right. And the researchers, somewhat probably puzzled by these results, are looking for ways to really explain them. And they write this: at this stage of the pandemic, it is plausible that there were more CYP, that's children and young people, who acquired natural immunity among the unvaccinated group than among the vaccinated. Natural immunity may be either more robust, more durable, or both in comparison to vaccine-induced immunity against the Omicron variant, leading to negative vaccine efficacy over time. So that's what the researchers, again, they're hanging their hats on this natural immunity.
No, they're doing more than that. They're blaming natural immunity. This is like blaming the placebo for being too strong. Well, perhaps it's because natural immunity was so effective that it's making our vaccine look even worse. But I want to challenge what they just said there, because if we're talking about just the natural world, right, what they're saying is the unvaccinated probably developed natural immunity, got infected, so therefore it's making them look a lot better than those that had the vaccine. But if the vaccine is still underperforming against the unvaccinated, you have to assume they're all catching the illness, right? If what we know to be true, this vaccine doesn't stop the illness, it's supposed to reduce your, you know, symptoms supposedly, which we've really sort of destroyed that. But think about this. What they're saying is they didn't catch it. No, they caught it just as much. If we're in the same natural world, they were also catching Omicron. But what might be scary is they're not getting the benefits of natural immunity from it. So I think you can read in that paragraph, they're making the wrong conclusion. The conclusion might actually be this vaccine is blocking you from getting to that full natural immunity. Somehow, when you're catching it, you're not getting all the benefits. That's what I think could possibly be showing there too.
Absolutely. And yeah, that was in a discussion. So they're trying to discuss and figure out what the heck's going on. But you see this theme going through of natural immunity, whether it's helping or helping people or hurting the vaccine program.
Yeah.
But it's still something that's really it should at least be looked at as part of an entry procedure to the United States for instead of a two-dose vaccination, looking at this data. But yeah. Now, you know, we have a new version of headlines again coming out. This is at Reuters, and they're talking about this new Omicron variant. The uptake has been dismal, and it looks like it's not going to get any better. It says here, 2/3 of U.S. adults don't plan on getting COVID boosters soon. That's a poll that was run. And so this is where we are, the state of the United States. The people are really just not trusting this. They're really understanding what perhaps natural immunity really entails. They're reading the science. They're seeing the health officials that had made promises of these 95%+ efficacy rates. They're just plummeting down to negatives. But perhaps one of the people that really called it out best was Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. And he had this to say at a recent symposium. Take a listen.
All right. We rejected the elites, and we were right. They're now trying to rewrite history, acting like they wanted kids in school all along, and we shouldn't let them get away with that. But we should also point out, not only were they wrong about schools, the elites were wrong about lockdowns, they were wrong about epidemiological models and the hospitalization models, they were wrong about forced masking, they were wrong when they rejected the existence of natural immunity. They were wrong about the efficacy of the mRNA vaccines, and they were wrong when I said this, that COVID was seasonal. Now they admit it, but they didn't when it was obvious that that was the case. So on almost every major significant issue, these elites who would show up on cable news or be wherever, they were wrong, and they got it wrong time and time again. And so we also served in Florida as a roadblock to what I think would have taken hold in this country if it weren't for our leadership, and that's a biomedical security state. If you look at what they were trying to do with forcing a vax and passports and all these different things, this country would look a lot different right now if people like me hadn't stood up and said, not on my watch, you're not doing that here.
Can't help but, you know, love hearing from a politician that really sort of has been ahead of everyone else. And frankly, you would want to say ahead of the science, as though the science we're looking at today is brand new. But this science has been there the whole time. That's what we've been delivering here on the high wire. But it is amazing to see it and watch the scientific world now reeling in one of the biggest catastrophic disasters brought on by science we've ever seen.